A couple of weeks ago on the programme, I played you Dave Dannon's version of this track. Listen to how the Dublin City Ramblers treat Irish Molly O.
Molly dear, did you hear the news that's gone around? Down in the corner of my heart, a loving place you found. And every time I gaze into your Irish eyes of blue, they seem to whisper, darling boy, my love is all for you. Oh, Molly, my Irish Molly, my sweet Aquashlet dear, I'm fairly off my trolley, my Irish Molly, when you are near. Springtime, you know it's springtime, come dear, now don't be slow. Change your name, go on, begin bigger, and I'll do the same, my Irish Molly, oh. Molly, dear, did you hear I furnished up the flat? Three little cozy rooms with bath and a welcome on the mat. It's £5 down and 2 a week will soon be out of debt. It's all complete except they haven't brought the cradle yet. Oh, Molly, my Irish Molly, my sweet Aquashlet dear, I'm fairly off my trolley, my Irish Molly, when you were near. Springtime, you know it's springtime, come dear, now don't be slow. Change your name, go on, begin bigger, and I'll do the same, my Irish Molly, oh. What all the neighbours say about the 100 sovereigns you have safely stored away. They say that's why I love you, ah, but Molly, that's a shame. If you had only 99, I'd love you just the same. Oh, Molly, my Irish Molly, my sweet Aquashlet dear, fairly off my trolley, my Irish Molly, when you were near. Springtime, you know it's springtime, Molly, now don't be slow. Change your name, go on, begin bigger, and I'll do the same, my Irish Molly, oh.
During that particular track, my guide dog, York, pushed his way into the studio and plonked himself down beside me at the recording desk. Lying on my foot, he is at the moment, and my foot will in the next few minutes go completely dead, but he must like this Sounds Irish programme that I do. Now, I did say some weeks ago that I would be telling you a little bit about something, an event that happened in 1846. We've mentioned it over and over again on Sounds Irish, and it had a huge influence on Irish music, well, certainly over the last 150-odd years. But before I do, I want to play this lovely track from the wonderful and gorgeous-sounding Anne-Marie O'Riordan, and she's saying, "Come home," to Abby Field.
The golden corn is high, my love, where wild winds whisper free. But I must take that lonely road that leads down to the sea. You sleep upon the towering hill where twilight shadows steal, and hear the wild winds whispering, "Come home to Abbey Field." The New York lights are shining bright, our streets are cold and gray. A man must leave the dying hours to greet the newborn day. My memory roams wild and free as I wait an alien dawn of Mary T, who walked with me to greet the summer morn. Is that harvest moon still shining bright upon the vale's gold stream? Do stars or mean a halo lights up the meadows green? Do maidens glide the riverside and dance the forehand reel? And do lovers stray from Trasnoe near my town of Abbeyfield? Where are they now, that gallant band that fought with awesome skill? Brave Larry Ellen Hartnett, Bomber Foley from the hill. Oh, Donald Gahine and O'Rourke, I can but name a few. They made their stand that freedom grand might hail the morning dew. The New York dawn is shining bright, her streets are cold and gray. My feet are on this city street, but my dreams are far away. Soon I fly that starlit sky, and when twilight shadows steal, then you walk with me in my memory near my town of Abbeyfield.
Anne-Marie O'Riordan and the beautiful song Come Home to Abbey Field.
A little sort of theme that's coming through the programme this week is the story of the famine that started around 1846.
In that particular time, the staple diet of the people of Ireland, particularly the people of rural Ireland, was the potato. And around that time, the potato was stricken by a huge blight that came. And I've only discovered this the other day, that not only affected Ireland, but it affected parts of Europe as well. And the families in particularly Clare and County Mayo, they were really, well, poor families to start with, trying to eke a living out from very small farms so that they could pay rent to the landlords. But when the famine came and the blight came and the crops failed, the people had nothing. And the landlords came out and actually dragged them, men, women and children, screaming from their little hovels and just left them on the roadside. And it was there that, well, the charitable organisations of the time were really stretched to do their best to try to help these people. But many of them just died at the side of the road, while others who were maybe a little stronger, made their way to the nearest port to get on board what became known as the famine ships. These ships took people mostly either to Canada or to America, where they could set up a life. So a lot of them died on the journey. This is a song that I have played on the program before, but it sort of sets the scene for our little famine interlude on this week's Sounds Irish. Johnny McAvoy and the Famine Song.
In the year of 47, I saw an end to what had been. Saw my neighbors, friends, and loved ones fade before me like a dream. On the ship I crossed the ocean, sailing on the raging foam, to the land of my tomorrows, far from my native home. Now the land is cold and blighted, now the crop has failed again. There's no food upon the table, fear lives in the hearts of men. On this ship I crossed the ocean, sailing on the raging foam, to the land of my tomorrows, far from my native home. There's a cloud upon the mountain, and the rain is falling free. There's a shadow in the valley where my cabin used to be. On this ship I cross the ocean, sailing on the raging foam, to the land of my tomorrow, far from my native home. All my comrades, they have fallen, by the roadside they have died. In the fields and in the hedgerows, their hungry bones lie side by side. On this ship I cross the ocean, sailing on the raging foam, to the land of my tomorrows, far from my native home. On this ship I cross the ocean, sailing on the raging foam, to the land of my tomorrows, far from my native home.
Johnny McAvoy and the Famine Song. The famine was one of the greatest events in Irish history. Let me just reword that a bit. The famine was one of the greatest life-changing events in Irish history. It changed the whole shape of Irish history from about 1846. And it took years to recover from the famine. And you know, the sad part about it was that in other parts of Ireland, we were exporting potatoes to other countries. And yet, our own people were starving here at home. And there were many, many sad stories of people, families leaving, emigrating, leaving maybe 12, 13, 14 in the family, making their way to the nearest town or meeting point and leaving for foreign countries, and maybe only one or two arriving in Canada or America, the others having perished on the way. You know, lately on the program, I've been playing some tracks by Phil Campbell. And I got an email from a listener who said, Joe, could you play more of Phil Campbell on Sounds Irish? She has a lovely voice. Now, I want to play for you now a song by Phil Campbell entitled My Own Dear Native Land. And I'm sure it echoes the feeling of many of those people who were leaving Ireland because of the famine.
Farewell, my own dear native land, for here I cannot stay. I am prepared to sail away, bound for America, to leave the land that gave my birth. It grieves my heart full sore. So fare thee well, dear Ireland, where the three-leaved shamrock grows. The ship she lies at anchor, being now ready for to sail. May heaven send our vessel safe with sweet and pleasant gale. And when I'm on the ocean white, you'll all be in my mind. So fare thee well, dear Ireland, and all that I left behind. The tears flow freely from my eyes, my heart suppressed with woe. Think I'd leave my native land or be compelled to go to see my old aged mother, and it fills her heart, you know, to leave that sainted Ireland where the three-leaved shamrock grows. Hurrah, my boys, our sails are spread, and the wind is blowing fair. Full speed to Castle Gardens, in a few days we'll be there. It's hard to part with all I love that's in my heart, you know. So fare thee well, dear Ireland, where the three-leaved shamrock grows.
This next track is not a famine song, but it's an emigration song. And it tells the story of a young girl called Annie Moore. Now, Annie was only 15 and probably left Ireland with her family, and most of them, probably they all, perished on the way on those famine ships, or coffin ships as they came to be known. And Annie arrived at Ellis Island, where she had just on her own, and she must have been terribly frightened. But Ellis Island was the sort of emigration entrance where they judged you before you came in. They questioned you. And if you didn't come up to the mark, they sent you back. And there's this poor little girl arriving from Ireland, looking forward to the future, not knowing what the future is going to hold for her. And imagine, just imagine a 15-year-old girl, and she's lost probably her parents and family on the way, or left them behind in Ireland. This is the song entitled Isle of Hope. Now, I know I've played this quite often on Sounds Irish, and this is the first version I've ever played on the programme. I think it was on the second or third programme, and I've played lots of versions since. But I'm now going to play for you the first version I ever heard of this song, Tommy Fleming and Isle of Hope, and it tells, well, it tells a moving story.
On the first day of January 1892, they opened Ellis Island and they let the people through. And the first to cross the threshold of the Isle of Hope and Tears was Annie Moore from Ireland, who was only 15 years. Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears, Isle of Freedom, Isle of Fears. But it's not the isle I've left behind. That Isle of Hunger, Isle of Pain, Isle you'll never see again. But the Isle of Hope is always on your mind. In her little bag she carried all her past and history, and her dreams for the future in the land of liberty. And courage, here's the passport when you're old. There's no future in the past when you're only 15 years. Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears, Isle of Freedom, Isle of Fears. But it's not the isle I've left behind. That Isle of Hunger, Isle of Pain, Isle is always on your mind. When they close down Ellis Island in 1943, 17 million people had come there for sanctuary. And in springtime when I came here and I stepped off on its piers, I thought of how it must have felt when you're only 15 years. I love tears, I love freedom, I love fears. But it's not the isle I've left behind. That isle of hunger, isle of pain, I'll never see again. But the Isle of Hope is always on your mind.
That song never fails to move me, and that was Tommy Fleming's version of Isle of Hope. I want to paint a picture for you now. I want to paint a picture of a young man sitting on a stile overlooking the town. Between him and the town is the local graveyard. Buried in that graveyard is his young wife, Mary. He's leaving Mary and he's saying farewell to her. Now, this is a wonderful song, and it's sung here by Danny Doyle. It's sung unaccompanied, and I'm glad because I think it adds to the poignancy of the song. And it tells a story of how he remembers sitting on the stile with her, holding her hand and feeling her warm breath on his cheek. And then they get married, and then Mary dies. Everything is so sad and poor here in Ireland that he has decided to move away, to emigrate to America. But he says no matter how wonderful a country it is, he will never forget Ireland, and he will never forget Mary.
I'm sitting on the stile, Mary, where we sat side by side on a bright May morning long ago, when first you were my bride. The corn was springing fresh and green, the lark sang loud and high, and the red was on your lips, Mary, and the love light in your eyes. The place is little changed, Mary. The day seems bright as then. The lark's loud song is in my ear, and the corn is green again. But I miss the soft clasp of your hand, your breath warm on my cheek, and still I listen for the words that you will never speak, that you will never speak. I'm very lonely now, Mary, for the poor make no new friends. But oh, they love them better still, the few our Father sends. And you were all I had, Mary, my blessings and my pride. There's nothing left to care for now, since my poor Mary died. I thank you for the patient smile when your heart was fit to break, when the hunger pain was aching there. You hid it for my sake. I bless you for the pleasant word when your heart was sad and sore. Oh, I'm thankful you are gone, Mary, where grief can't reach you more, where grief can't reach you more. And when amid those grand old woods I sit and shut my eyes, my heart will travel back again to where my Mary lies. I'll think I see that little glade where we stroll side by side, and the springing corn and the bright May morn when first you were my bride. I'm bidding you a long farewell, my Mary kind and true, but I'll not forget you, darling, in the land I'm going to. They say there's bread and work for all, and the sun shines always there, but I'll not forget old Ireland, were it 50 times as fair, were it 50 times as fair.
Do you see what I mean? How the song being sung unaccompanied adds to it? I think so, anyway. Now we're moving on from 1846 to the 1860s, and this is yet again one of my favourite Irish emigration songs. It tells the story of the man from Kilkelly in County Mayo, and it tells in letters that his father writes to him. He, the man, has gone, John, has gone to America to better himself because, well, the crop of potatoes was bad and there was nothing on the farm, and he left and he went to America. And his father wrote to him. Well, not quite. The schoolmaster wrote to him. You see, his father probably couldn't write, and his friend, the schoolmaster, the father's friend, the schoolmaster, would write the letters for the father. Every so often the father would write, and he would tell him all the news. And you know, there's a lovely line at the beginning, near the beginning of this song, that never fails to move me, and it's a real mother's plea. And it says, "Your mother says, don't work on the railroad, and perhaps you'll come home again soon." It tells a gorgeous story. And normally I would play the Kilkelly version of this, the group to Kilkelly. But I have a wonderful version by Mick Maloney and his interpretation of the story of John and what happened in Kilkelly. And he tells all what's been happening in the village while he's away. And in the last verse, and this is a true story, by the way, in the last verse, it's the schoolmaster writes and tells him that his father has died. And I do think this is one of the most wonderful emigration songs. And you know, friends, I'm not ashamed to tell you that the first time I heard this song, I shed tears. Here's Mick Maloney and Kilkelly.
Kilkelly, Ireland, 1860, my dear and loving son John. Your good friend, the schoolmaster Pat McNamara, so good as to write these words down. Your brothers have all got to find work in England, house is so empty and sad. Crop of potatoes is sorely infected, a third to a half of them bad. And your sister Bridget and Patrick O'Donnell are going to be married in June. Mother says not to work on the railroad, be sure to come on home soon. Ireland, 1860, 17, my dear and loving son John. Hello to your missus and to your four children. May they grow healthy and strong. Michael has got in a wee bit of trouble. I suppose that he never will learn. Because of the dampness, there's no turf to speak of, and now we have nothing to burn. And Bridget is happy, you name the child for her, although she's got six of her own. You say you found work, but you don't say what kind. Sad news that your dear old mother has gone. We buried her down at the church in Kilkelly. Brothers and Bridget were there. You don't have to worry, she died very quickly. Remember her in your prayers. And it's so good to that Michael's returning with money, he's sure to buy land. For the crop has been poor and the people are selling at any price that they can. Ireland 18 and 19, my dear and loving son John. I suppose that I must be close on 80. It's 30 years since you're gone. Because of all of the money you sent me, I'm still living out of my own. Has built himself a fine house, and Bridget's daughters are grown. And thank you for sending your family picture, your lovely young women and men. You say that you might even come for a visit. What joy to see you again. Ireland 18 and 92, my dear brother John. I'm sorry I didn't write sooner to tell you that father passed on. He was living with Bridget, she says he was cheerful and healthy right down to the end. You should have seen him playing with the grandchildren of Pat McNamara, your friend. And we buried him alongside of mother down at the Kilkelly churchyard. He was a strong and a feisty old man,
considering his life was so hard. And it's funny the way he kept talking about you. He called for you at the end. Oh, why don't you think about coming to visit? We'd all love to see you again.